Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Chatham Community Church. Like I said earlier, my name is Jaime. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm so glad you are here this morning, and what a joy to be able to celebrate Annabelle's baptism. Thank you so much for celebrating with us that this morning. If you're a guest, I just want to join in welcoming you. We're so glad that you're here. At the end of the service, I'm going to be just outside the exit doors. Come say hi. I'd love to hear your name, a little bit more about what your experience was like this morning and how you found out about our church, and make sure you get one of our welcome bags on your way out so you know a little bit more about us and what we're about here in Chatham County, and so we can bless you with some of the gifts from local merchants that we hand out in that welcome bag. So come see me at the end of the service. I don't think I've ever watched, in fact, I'm sure I've never watched a full episode of any show featuring Gordon Ramsay, but a few years ago, for some reason, the internet algorithms decided to suggest a clip from one of his shows. And you know how that works. You watch one, and it suggests another one. And I think over the years, I've watched so many Gordon Ramsay clips from different shows that I feel like between all of it, I'd watched like a couple of full seasons of all of his show. I'm particularly fond of clips from the show Kitchen Nightmares. Well, some of you are familiar with this. What Gordon will do is he'll visit a restaurant that isn't doing well. He'll observe a lunch service. He'll observe a dinner service. He'll try the food. He'll talk to the staff, interview the owners, and then he'll give them blunt, and that's a kind word for what Gordon does, blunt feedback on the experience along with guidance for what they can do to turn things around. Now, not everyone takes it well. Some of that has to do with Gordon's delivery. Some of that has to do with people's denial of truth. But Gordon is usually spot on. One of the things I've appreciated about Gordon's approach is that at some point in the episode, he'll often gather the whole staff and the owners and management, everyone who's involved in the restaurant for the meeting. And he'll talk about everything that he's observed and everything that it's going to take in front of everyone. Now, when most people think of Gordon, they think of chef. And so when you approach one of his shows, you may think, oh, he's all going to be focused on the food. But Gordon's a successful restaurateur. He started and has many restaurants, many successful restaurants. So when he gathers all these people, he's able to speak confidently to the strengths and challenges and opportunities of every area of the restaurant. And part of what he's doing, or what he's trying to do, when he gathers all those people and shares all those insights, is he's trying to rally the whole group, from owners down to wait staff, down to bus people, all of them around this idea of the restaurant turnaround, and this idea that for the restaurant to turn around, everyone needs to be involved. Everyone needs to own the mission. In his mind, every member of that restaurant community is part, each one of them, is part of creating a positive dining experience and fostering an environment for a successful restaurant. Earlier this year, we launched a 3-year vision for our church. The vision was the fruit of much prayer and conversation over almost a full year with different folks from our community as we sought to gain a sense of what God might be inviting us to in this next season of ministry here in Chatham County. A phrase came to Alex, our lead pastor, and that phrase kept resonating time and time again as we gathered different groups of people. That phrase was force multipliers for kingdom good. As we prayed about that phrase, as we listened to that phrase, what the sense we got is that what we were saying to God is, God, you've blessed us in so many ways. We've got people, we've got resources, we've got talent, we've got skill, we've got connections in the community, we've built a reputation. We want to bring that all before you and ask what you might do with it over these next few years. And the sense that we got from God is that he was going to take all that and use all that to bring about even more good, more spiritual good, more earthly good to every part of Chatham County and even to parts beyond. The force multiplier for kingdom good vision has a number of different components that we're going to focus on. But in order to make it sort of easily accessible, we've summarized it into this image. And this image connects to our overall mission and vision. In fact, you'll see some of the words here on the stage. These are words that we've used throughout our history: connect, develop, follow, engage. As we partner with God over the next 3 years, if you were to summarize all the vision, what we're going to do is we're going to connect more people to God and to community. We're going to develop as people further as authentic followers of Jesus. And alongside individuals and organizations, we're going to partner to find more ways to engage Chatham County and engage our world beyond for good, to do some good during our time here. Today and for the next two Sundays, each sermon is going to focus on one of those areas. We'll start with the connection section. If you can see some of the markers there in that connection section, you may notice and have a sense that we've already borne good fruit in this section so far this year. We've already witnessed some of it with Annabelle's baptism. In fact, with today's baptisms and affirmations of faith across both campuses, so far in the year, we are just under 50 people who have made a public commitment of their faith. Yeah. 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 If you can see the screen, our goal for 3 years was 100. Not 100 for a year, but 100 over 3 years. And that felt like a stretch for us because our record over an entire calendar year had been 20. So we thought, okay, if we improve by a little bit, right, we make some changes, we'll get to 100 over 3 years. So we're already seeing that God is multiplying. God is taking what we're giving to him and multiplying for good. What I love about almost every baptism and affirmation of faith story in our community is that multiple people from our church community have played a role in someone making the decision to be baptized or affirm their faith. People have welcomed, people have prayed, people have encouraged, people have taught, people have given wisdom and help, and so on and so forth. And every one of those persons is part of that baptism or affirmation of faith story. So as we look ahead to the next 3 years, just like with the restaurants on Kitchen Nightmares, for every part of the vision, but particularly for the one we're going to focus on today, here's what I want us to grab hold of. We are all part of how we're going to see more people connecting to God and to community. All of us have a part to play in that. Force Multipliers for Kingdom Good is not just a vision for a few people in our church. It's a vision for all of us together. Each one of us is part of how we're going to see more people connect to God, more people connect to community, more people develop as followers of Jesus and go deeper in their faith, and more people engaged in greater ways to bring about good in Chatham County and beyond. Fall kickoff is coming up in just a few weeks. This is connection season at Chatham Community Church. So let's lean in, each and every one of us. Find our way to be a part of this and see how God might be inviting us to bring more connection even this fall. Today's passage that we're going to read in just a little bit is an illustration or illustrates a partnership in connecting more people to God into community. If you have a Bible, we're going to be in the book of Colossians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, it's going to be on the screen in just a second. But if you have one or have an app and want to access it, I'll give you some time to look it up. Colossians is in the New Testament. It's after the first four books of the New Testament, which are the Gospels, after the book of Acts. We start to get a series of letters. If you get to Revelation, you've gone too far. But somewhere in there is the book of Colossians. And we're going to start reading from chapter 4, starting in verse 2. And like I said, it's going to be on the screen in just a second. Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2. Here's what it says. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. What we know as the book of Colossians is a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to the Christian community in a city called Colossae. Colossae is an ancient city, or was an ancient city, that was located in what is modern-day Turkey. And Paul writes to them after a leader from that church has come to visit Paul while he's in prison. The leader has likely given Paul an update of how the church is doing, shared some of the good stuff that's happening, shared some of the questions that the church has, and even some of the cultural pressures that the church is facing. So Paul writes responding to that. He writes about the impact of Jesus' resurrection on every part of life and every part of the world. And he writes specifically, alluding to some of the pressures that they were facing, and gives them instruction about how to carry out their faith in their community. He's rounding the corner towards the end. The next section after this are what are known as his final greetings, his goodbyes, so to speak. But before he gets to his final greetings at the end of the letter, he gives some instruction. And that instruction is related to connecting people to God and, by necessity, to Christian community. Most of the five verses that we read seem to be focused on prayer. And they are. And part of the reason that that's the case is because Paul seems to take a tangent in the middle of his instructions for them. He invites them to pray. He tells them, devote yourselves to prayer. And it's almost like after that sentence, he stops and says, well, since you're going to be praying, here's, pray for me, pray for me. Here's how you can pray for me. Let me show you what he says, right? He says, devote yourselves to prayer. And then he says, pray for us, that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains, that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Paul is asking for the community to pray for him. And if I were to sort of translate that into more modern day language, I might say that Paul is asking them to pray that he would have opportunities to communicate the gospel and that he might have the ability to communicate it clearly. He's asking them, pray that I would have opportunities. And when those opportunities come, pray that I may speak the message clearly, that it would be well received. Paul is imprisoned, but even imprisoned, even under duress, he wants to be aware of any and every opportunity that he might have to share the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and to invite people to give themselves and follow Jesus into that life. Now, Paul already has experience communicating the gospel. Paul has started churches and developed leaders. He's already led people to faith. He's already established Christian communities all around the area. And writing material in this time is not as readily available as it is now, let alone there's no texting technology or electronic technology. So why is he giving space in this letter, with the limited space and time he has, to share this request with people he doesn't even know? I think it's because he knows that in some way, even if he doesn't know them, even if they don't know him, they're all part of his any opportunity he might have to connect people to God. They're part of his mission, even if he doesn't know them, even if they don't know exactly where he is or who he's going to be encountering. They're all part of seeing more people come to know Jesus. Just like all of us here in Chatham County are part of seeing more people connect to God. One of the images that Paul uses in the scriptures to talk about the communities of people following Jesus is the image of the body. He talks about that the community of faith is a body. We're the body of Christ. And in that image, part of what he emphasizes is the interconnectedness and the interdependence of all members, of all followers of Jesus, to one another. So when he writes to this community that he doesn't know personally, it is enough to know that they are following Jesus as well for him to lean into that interdependence, for him to lean into that interconnectedness and ask them to pray for him and ask them to pray for his particular mission. They may be in a different place than Paul. And Paul may have different skills and gifts and opportunities. He may have a different particular ministry. He'll likely have access to people that they may never know, whose names they may never hear. But that doesn't mean that they don't have a part to play. There's always a part to play if you're willing to pray. There's always a part to play if you're willing to pray. You may not be a Chatham Kids teacher. You may not be a student ministries volunteer, but you have a part to play in the numbers of children and youth that we baptize and welcome into faith if you're willing to pray. You may not greet the person, the adult, who decides to get baptized or affirm their faith. You may not be their small group leader. You may not even know their name until the moment that they decide to be baptized or affirm their faith. But you have a part to play in that decision if you're willing to pray. If you're willing to pray. If you're willing to pray, you have a part to play. And the beautiful thing about prayer is that in addition to it being a way in which we play our part, prayer also deepens our connection as a community because we're invested in each other when we pray for each other. We're invested in the people we are praying to have the opportunities to share about Jesus, and we're invested in the people who we're praying have opportunities to hear about Jesus. Prayer strengthens our connection to one another. This past week, someone from our community ended up in the hospital, a very critical situation. And we sent out an email to folks to pray. And folks started responding back, we're praying, and how's it going, and how can we pray more specifically? And as that was happening, folks in the community who'd heard about the situation through other relationships reached out to us and said, hey, do you know about this person? Do you know they're in the hospital? Are we praying? Are we praying? People's interest, people's checking in, people wanting to make sure that they were praying and that we were praying to see how to keep praying, kept buoying and kept flowing in throughout the week. Later in the week, I got a chance to visit this person at the hospital. By this point, this person was conscious and aware. And as I walked in and I shared about how their community was praying for them, you can see them become visibly moved. Visibly, the weight of a sense that the community was around them, was engaged with them, was caring for them, was invested in them, just came over their face in gladness and tears of joy. Folks, we're all a part of one another's story. We all have a part to play if we're willing to pray. We're all part of seeing more people connect to God, connect to community, and deepen in their engagement as a community, and deepen in their engagement with community. And we become a stronger community when we participate together through prayer. And that strong sense of community is attractive. That dynamic, to know that people who may have never met you, who the first time that they ever heard your name was when someone sent a prayer request, that dynamic of knowing that those people are so invested in you speaks to the people around you. Because it's not common, but it's something that we were all made for. That deep sense of community, that deep sense of being invested in one another. It will draw people in. It is attractive. Now, I said earlier that this prayer request was like a short tangent in the midst of the instructions Paul was giving to the Colossians. So let's go back to the text, and I've removed the prayer tangent so we can read through the instructions sort of one after the other. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Do you notice that these instructions, though phrased differently, sound quite similar to what he asked them to pray for him? In a different way, he's asking them to be mindful of opportunities that they would have to share about their faith and to do it in a way that is effective. He's asking them for opportunities. He's asking them to watch for opportunities to communicate the gospel and to communicate it clearly. See, even if they're not apostles, or they're not evangelists, or they're not traveling from city to city, or before people, large audiences who want to hear about faith or have the chance to hear about faith, they have access, wherever they are, to people who need Jesus. There are people in Colossae who need Jesus. And his instructions in this section lay out the ways that they can contribute to connecting more people to God through their direct action. And it starts with a devotion to prayer, to watchfulness, and to thankfulness. In other words, it starts with focusing on their own connection to God. Connecting people to God starts with tending to our own connection to God. He tells them, and the counsel applies to us here as well. He tells them first, spend time talking and listening to God. If we're going to invite people into relationship with God, let's be in relationship with God. If we're going to talk to people about the promise of peace in laying our burdens before the Lord, let's lay our burdens before the Lord in prayer. If we're going to talk about how great it is that there is a God who gives us direction and guidance, let's listen for that direction and guidance. It will transform us. It will shape us. He tells them to grow in awareness of the spiritual atmosphere around them. That's what he's getting at with being watchful. So friends, this week, as you're spending time talking to God, listening to God, ask God to give you a sense for how he's at work in any given situation. One of the ways that we can recognize opportunities to connect people to God is to have God's eyes to see the spiritual atmosphere in a situation. And lastly, he tells them to be thankful in this section. He tells them to cultivate a gratitude mindset. This idea that a gratitude mindset is important is not exclusive to religion. It's not exclusive to Christianity. There is documented research that talks about the positive effects of a gratitude mindset. And it overflows into so many areas of life. Being thankful bears good fruit, not just in our lives, but in the lives of those who are connected to us. You might ask, what does tending to my relationship with God have to do with connecting other people to God? It's something so obvious that it will seem so clear as soon as you hear it. It's that a rich connection to God is compelling. When people see someone with a rich connection to God, a life well lived in God, it can be as compelling a witness as a well-crafted message. In fact, I'll say it's a more compelling witness than a well-crafted message that is given by someone who doesn't have a connection to God. Who doesn't have a rich connection to God. People can hear messages about life change that comes in following Jesus, but it lands differently when they've seen that life change in someone. They need to be able to connect the dots. Now, they need the word. Someone needs to explain. But they need to know also that it's real, that it happens, that there's change. Your connection to God is compelling because the fruit of your connection to God is the thing that everyone was made for. It's the thing that those that aren't connected to God desperately need, and they will be drawn in when they see what they desperately need and were made for in your life. When they see it in your life, they will be drawn in. Now, Paul starts with connection to God, but he doesn't end there. He's about to give them a series of final instructions here. Think of these instructions like paving stones. Each of them is part of creating a pathway for someone to connect to God and to community. You might lay one in someone's life and a different one in someone else's. Other people might lay different ones in someone else's life. We are all part of it. All of us together, contributing all around us, will create pathways for our community to connect with God and to one another. Another way of saying that first part, where it talks about wisdom and making the most of opportunities, is to be intentional and thoughtful when engaging with those who aren't following Jesus. That's the first paving stone we can lay. Be intentional. Now, it's not about being fake nice. It's not about seeing the people around us as project and having a board where we say, well, we had this conversation and we invited them to this thing. And if we take this step and invite someone else to do this other thing, they will become Christians. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what it means to be intentional. It's about being aware of the opportunities that are presented to connect the dots between the life that we're living with God and the life that they were made to live with God. Between the life change that they need and the life change that we're experiencing. Don't filter out faith from your conversations or your interactions with people. even if being explicit about it isn't an option, find a way to hint at it. The next paving stone is about how we communicate. Speak and listen in ways that will draw people in. It's part of what he's getting out with conversations being full of grace and seasoned with salt. It's not that they would be fascinated with you. It's not that you would be the most interesting man or the most interesting woman in the world. It's about that they would be fascinated through you in the God who is forming you. Show the fruit of the Spirit in your words, and show the fruit of your Spirit in your posture toward them. How cool would it be if every word you speak and every time that you listen, people would be able to have a sense that there is love, there is joy, there is peace, there is patience, there is kindness, there is goodness, there is faithfulness, there is gentleness, and there is self-control. People will lean in. People will want to know more. And lastly, respond to questions in a way that reflects Jesus. Now, this could be responding to questions or responding to statements that they make or situations that they are in. Because it's not always questions that invite a response to us from us. Sometimes it's a situation that someone's living. Now, this doesn't mean that you need a degree in biblical theology. You don't need to know all the biblical data or the answers to their tricky questions. But it means that in whatever way you engage with them, whatever way you respond to them, they can see and feel and experience the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. Folks, none of us can do this perfectly, and none of us will likely be able to do this all for each person. But between all of us, we can lay down a path for our neighbors. We can lay down a path for our classmates. We can lay down our path for our colleagues. We can lay down a path for our family in the county and beyond that connects them to God. We're all part of how we're going to see more people connecting to God and connecting to community. So in this week and the coming weeks, have open eyes for the opportunities that God will give you. Be intentional. Reflect Jesus. And let's pray for one another. In fact, I've got something for us to practice praying for one another these weeks. Under your seats, there is a sheet. It's a prayer card. And in a moment, I'm going to let you grab it. You can grab one per household if you want to pray by household, or one per person if you each want to pray. What I want you to do is I want you to shuffle around a little bit and find two people that are not of your household that you can commit to praying this prayer for the next 3 weeks or 2 weeks until fall kickoff. Ask them their name. Write it down. You don't need to know anything else about them. Just pray for them by name for the next 2 weeks. It can be people sitting next to you. It can be people behind you. I'm going to give us a moment in just a second to make some noise and move around. And pray. And know then that as you're praying for them, other people are praying for you. We're all part of how we're going to see more people connect to God and to community over these next 3 years, and in particular over these next 3 weeks. All right, go shuffle around, ask people for their names. Remember, you need two people. Okay, two people. Just write down their names. Get their names. And as you're done, return to your seats. Did anyone not get a name, or is someone not sure if they're on someone's card? I want to make sure that anyone who wants to be prayed for is being prayed for, and anyone who wants to pray for someone has someone to pray. So if you're not sure, let me know. We'll find someone. Sign someone. All right. Well, folks, the invitation is to look for the opportunities and to pray for others to have those opportunities as well. Let me pray. And as we've brought everything before the Lord and he's multiplied already, we're going to pray that he brings, that these prayers that come before him are also multiplied. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that we all get to be part of how people connect to you and connect to community. Lord, there are so many people that we know and so many people that we don't know that need that connection. Use us. Use us as paving stones this week and in the next weeks to create pathways for people to come to know you. And Lord, strengthen our bond as a community as we pray for one another in these coming weeks, that people would see that community and find it attractive and come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.